So good morning, Professor.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you outline what the concept of digital hoarding is for us?
All right. I think you gave a pretty good introduction. What it means is it's the collection. It's the collection of digital content. May that be pictures, videos, documents that we receive from our service providers, the things that we create, videos. So over a period of time, and if this becomes too much, and too much in three specific angles, so that's the acquisition of the content and the difficulty of discarding, and if you feel sort of like a clutter, then we can call it digital hoarding. It's very similar to the physical hoarding, which is now recognized as a severe mental disorder under the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM-5, they call it. So that's similar kind of traits we can see in digital space as well.
I guess they would be kind of similar traits in regards to keeping things that we really do not need anymore. But what other kind of characteristics transfer from the physical hoarders to the digital hoarders?
Right. So here, James, we're not really making an assumption that all digital hoarders are physical hoarders or all physical hoarders are digital hoarders. But what we see is that the established traits of physical hoarding can be applied to digital hoarding. So in other words, that you and I can be quite literally be called digital hoarders while we are not physically hoarding anything. And it's quite possible. But you ask a question like the digital and physical nature of the things. One thing that we find in our research and in also sort of like thinking along these ways is that the digital spaces that we have available, we have abundance of them, or we think there is an abundance of it, that we keep collecting digital spaces to keep our videos and the contents, the pictures, the selfies, and et cetera. So we keep adding things. So that's a new thing that compared to the physical space of hoarding, which is sort of constrained. The second one is that this creation of content in the physical world, if you're collecting, let's say, cars or junk or whatever it is, it will take a little bit of effort or more effort than digital to collect it. Sometimes it would take your money to spend and then buy things and you collect them. But this is not the case in digital. And this is one of the facts that we would sort of want the users or general public to be aware of, is that because you're simply creating your stuff or your digital content, or you're getting it from someone else free, the chance of that you becoming a digital hoarder is actually, in fact, much more greater than the case of physical hoarding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because, just without being able to, I guess, see what you're still holding on to, it's definitely hard to manage what you have got on those, I guess, iCloud and Drive platforms. But I guess in the sphere of management, do you think people should centralize their online items to one platform, or is that a bit more of an unachievable goal?
I don't think we have to centralize it. This is my personal view, is that didn't come from the research. But when you think about this, right now we, just like you mentioned, we got the iClouds, we got the Gmail or Google providers, then there are Dropbox, then there's a whole plethora of other service providers who would initially give us a large chunk of data storage, even within our mobile, like you mentioned in the introduction. Centralizing everything may not be possible, but what would be possible is to have some sort of aggregators, and then we have some in the marketplace, but they're not taking a very central role at this point. But it's a bit like, to give you an example, so right now when we look at hotels, we don't look at individual hotels websites. We look at hotel aggregators, right? And there are plenty of them available. So what they do is that they seek out all information and then they put them into one platform. Similar to that, we should be having the space of aggregators, or the space aggregators, sort of like managers managing our data storage. And I think this is long overdue, and there's a very strong role available or a market available for these kind of players. So my answer would be that no, I don't think we need to aggregate or centralize, because that probably will not be possible. But what we can do is create this kind of aggregating services.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be extremely helpful, because I guess one side of things is that you have the Apple and Android services, and then you might have photos from Android which could be stored on the Google Cloud, and the other one in the iCloud and all that kind of stuff. So if you're able to have one thing which can bring those things together, that would be amazingly helpful. One of the main differences you discuss as a defining factor of digital hoarding as compared to physical hoarding is the fact that digital content does not need to be discarded. What are the implications of this form of, I guess, hidden content?
Yeah. I would say the key element of the problem is that the fact that we think that we don't need to delete, we think that we don't need to organize, and again, I think we get encouraged by the space availability. So it's a bit like if I get complete space used in a Google Drive, then I would go to another drive, or I would probably extend it with a very very marginal cost increments will give me a large chunk of data. So the deletion does not occur in many individual spaces. This occurs in company spaces or in organizations. They archive in a probably adhering to the management structures of data or information, but such things don't occur. And this is the real problem or the burden of this digital hoarding, is that because we don't delete, because we store it in an unstructured way, us finding this information or us finding a photo. So if I tell James, could you pull up a picture that we took, 5 years ago in a beach party, you'd be surprised that you don't have to go 5 years. If you go 5 days, then you'd be struggling to find the picture.
Yeah.
And that shows that we don't delete, we store it in an unstructured way. Hence, the chance of us being stressed out or create the anxiety in relation to this storage, finding, and using becomes very similar to what we see in physical hoarding.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to that, and just in some ways of having, photos from the past like 10 years of my life have mainly all just been on in a digital form. So there's a big, anxiety around losing that kind of thing. So having all that stuff in hidden content, in hidden storage is definitely very worrying. In your research, you found that your participants had on average access to 3.7 terabytes of storage. Do you feel that it's up to the tech companies to kind of regulate the amount of storage we use, or is it kind of just up to us to use it properly?
The 3.7 terabytes was, even we were surprised as researchers. We thought that it's much less. The question about regulating, I don't think that would be possible, because, you and I, like everyone else, would like to take pictures, like to video record, see things, download. So I don't think regulation to a particular limit would be possible. But what would be possible is some sort of a consortium that is created around the creators, like you and I, when we create as consumers, then the providers, like companies like Samsung or Apple or Google, who give us this space. But there is, like I said earlier, there's a very, very vital role for the managers, those who can manage this space for us. And this could be, again, a service and sort of like an arbitrary service that we get, arbitrage service that we get from the aggregator. So it's like a tripartite relationship that I can see addressing this issue. This is, again, very different to the physical hoarding. Physical hoarding is an individual issue, largely. The one who collects the things is labeled as a hoarder, and then largely you can treat the person who is diagnosed with the DSM-5 classification, and then you can say he or she is a hoarder. But in this case, not that we're looking to put a label on someone saying that you're a hoarder, but the problem is a societal one. It's much more deep-rooted than this. It's not individual. You will get pictures from someone else. We are all connected. Now, social media, we have a lot of associations that go beyond the physical structure that is rooted in my network. So in other words, that would I delete a picture of a friend that I have it in Facebook? Would I keep it? Those kind of things play much more deeper rules. So roles. So therefore, it is not just you and I, or is it not just the tech company? But I think in combination of this tripartite relationship and the networks of the tripartite relationship would have this some sort of a solution or number of solutions to come to understand how this data can be stored, how this data can be retrieved without giving worry to the end user like you and me.
Yeah, that'll be the perfect end goal, I guess. Incredibly interesting, the work that you're doing. I'm definitely very looking forward to any more research that you do publish in the future. But thank you so much for, I guess, bringing to light something that people probably have never even thought about in their lives about digital hoarding.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, James. Much appreciated.